Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 100. Yes, 100. Are you at ease in Zion? Today is Sunday, May 31st, 2009. April showers bring May flowers. Here we are, May 2009. Thank you for joining me. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota in the USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in the Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also find show notes at the blog where you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And also at the blog, you're going to find links to scriptures within the show notes, so be sure to go to check those out. I hope you're enjoying our two-part podcast episodes that are aired on Friday night, as well as Sunday morning. So be sure to check both parts out. God bless you and have a great week. Have a great spring. And don't forget to smell the flowers along the way.
Are you at ease in Zion? Tonight we shall challenge the slumbering, slothful sluggards in Zion. Amos 6 and 1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. I'm echoing. Now, in itself, it's not a terrible thing to be at ease. No, it's a blessing in the heavenly sense of the word. In fact, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And is it not one of the promises made to the believer? His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth, in Psalm 25 and 13. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet inhabitation, in Isaiah 33 and 20. And then in Jeremiah it says, Jacob shall return and be in rest and at ease, and shall none make him afraid. Boy, what a promise that is. I'm getting a little echo here. But anyway, in Jacob it says, Jacob shall return and be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. And so to have a perfect quietness is a privilege, which then only belongs to those who have entered into which that is behind the veil. That perfect quietness, that perfect peace that's behind that veil, those that have received Jesus. Oh, to enter into that rest. For they that have believed do enter into rest. They have ceased, whoa, from their own works as God did his. Imagine to cease from your work as God has. From your own works. Now that is a rest. God knows how to take a rest. God knows how to have peace. He is peace. And they have found rest in Christ's finished work. They have, in the faithfulness and the power of God, enough support for the future. No matter what troubles, no matter what trials come, they have that peace, they have that perfect quietness. Now that takes a time of doing. And in that precious blood of Christ, sufficient atonement for the past, whatever sins they have done. And they have that peace, that knowledge, that knowing that all of their sins are forgiven, each and every one. And also that in communion and fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, abundant joy for the present. Whew. Boy, now that's a promise that we have to come into, that we have to grow into. That whatever trials come, that whatever difficulties, and so to understand the word ease is a blessing. The Bible says the kingdom of God is peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. But ease may be used, I believe, in a very evil state, and listen to it. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. The carnal ease, the fleshy security. It's not the confidence of a man pardoned, but the ease of a hardened person, the ignorant people. It's not the assurance of one who is on the rock, but the ease of a drunkard who is always falling down and falling apart, and yet he says, give me one more for the road. It's not the calm of a soul that it's at peace with God, but the ease of a madman who, because he has hidden his own sins from himself, thinks also that God doesn't see them. A peace that leads to hell. Because many are at ease in Zion, and let me wake you up, you listening on the radio to this tape, maybe in here tonight, we will call out their names, which we find in this chapter. The name of the very first sleeper is presumptuous. His character is described in the first verse. They trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel come. And you are quite content. You say to yourself, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. You say, well, the drunk should go ahead and tremble because I have always been a moral person. And let the dishonest hang their heads. I have always walked in integrity before men. And so then you wrap yourself up in your own good works and hope to stand complete in God. And you trust in your own self-made mountain of Samaria and say, my mountain stands firm, it shall never be moved. You stand in your own self-righteousness. And I, for one, can hardly understand being at ease in self-righteousness. You especially who are listening to this radio broadcast, or to my preaching here tonight, when thunderbolts come against thee, and against the workmongers and the merit trusters who boast then in themselves that they are righteous and they deceive both themselves and others. They get a following of people that get into self-righteousness and they deceive themselves, the Bible says, and others. And I will utter no sterner anathemas than, and that means you may go to hell, than against those who trust in their own righteousness. Because then you have not submitted yourself to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of them around. Are you hearing this? Because don't you see, your very purest works are but dung in the sight of God. They can't even bear, let's say, the very twilight of the awakened conscience. And how then will they bear the sevenfold sunlight of God's great judgment day? Even when the conscience is awakened by the Holy Spirit, they can't bear that light. They know they're filthy. How then will they bear the sevenfold judgment of God when His sunlight of truth comes on that judgment day? Glory to God. Cease from all works of self. When all things will lie naked before him, and I minister this because we're coming to the very end now. And I think that we must minister to the unsaved, and when we do, we start to minister to ourselves and we find out where we're at. Oh, to get to heaven, you think, hanging on a balloon as they rid themselves of their own iniquities by doing better or past sins by future holinesses, it'll never work. Because your prayer and your giving and your fastings and your repentings and your church going and you are nothing, absolutely nothing to God, because God demands a perfect obedience. Then you will never accept, and he will never accept anything but a perfect righteousness from a man. It's all filthy rags. All of our own works, all of our own righteousnesses. You can sit around and sew up a new garment every day. You'll soon come to cry out like Adam. I knew I was naked and I hid myself. How many have had that feeling? When they find out that they're not quite as righteous as they thought. I went on for a couple of weeks after I got saved and I thought, oh my, you're so righteous. And how can these people be so wrong? How can they be so blind? After a while, God showed me myself in the third week. And I cried out, oh God, I can't hide from you. I'm trying to wrap this self-made mountain of Samaria around myself, saying that I will not be moved in my own self-righteousness. It doesn't happen that way, folks. So then, woe to you who are at ease in Zion, whose name then is presumptuous. You listening, many will say, that's not me because I believe in Martin Luther. Well, there's a lot of people that believe in justification by faith. They believe in the doctrine, but they haven't made an acceptance of Jesus Christ into their life all by themselves. They haven't done it. Now let's look at another name before us tonight, Mr. Not Now. Mr. Procrastination. Now, I believe many of you listening will recognize your name because in the third verse it says, ye that put far away the evil day. You put it off. You procrastinate. You probably say, oh, I'm just a young apprentice. I'll wait till later on, but not now. When I get set in my business, when I get done raising up my family, when baby goes to kindergarten. And so we procrastinate. We find every type of excuse not to follow the Lord, not to get into the things of God. Oh, but when my kids are gone, I will repent of the past and seek God's great grace for the future. I think that these are self-delusions of the very grossest kind, because you are never going to do no such thing as seek the Lord after all these things have happened if you aren't seeking him right now. Are you hearing this word? You're just putting it off and you're just fooling yourselves. Self-delusion, that's Satan's biggest net. The not now net, not now. You're too young. And how many say that? They're listening to this radio program or to this tape sitting in here tonight. Not now, I got a few oats to sow here, some wild ones first. See, then that's like Felix said to Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have more convenient season, I will send for thee. But you see here, old Felix, cool cat, used up all nine of his lives. Oh, and he didn't come into the kingdom of God because he put it off until another time when it was more convenient. Are you hearing this? No, we as Christians, even ministering to ourselves now, as we minister to the lost, don't we also have a more convenient... Well, I don't feel like it right now, but when it's more convenient. It's not convenient for me to street witness right now. It's not convenient for me to do this or to do that for the kingdom of God, and I'll just put it off until another day, until it's a more convenient time. But let's look at the evildoer who is the sin lover. They cause the seed of violence to come near, the Bible says. And some come to their churches and still love their sins, and they halt between two opinions. and they're lost between those two opinions. Are you hearing me tonight? This is what you're going to have to minister when you go out into that world. Now let's look at Mr. Love Self. It says in the Bible, they lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon couches and eat the lambs of the flocks and the calves of the midst of the stall. Now I thought, well, that isn't all wrong. To have a fancy bed, now that can't be all wrong. But to see here, the fault is this, that they live for self-indulgences. So many times we indulge ourselves. How many even in here tonight, saved and filled with the Holy Spirit this week, have indulged themselves, set up themselves up in some self-indulgence, made some excuse for it, and got into some kind of a fancy bed of laying around and self-indulged themselves in conversation on, oh, how great they are, and even covered it up so it didn't even look like they were talking about themselves. Indulging in self. Oh, we do it all the time. It says, whose God is their belly. I'll tell you, for one thing, I've had a belly of myself. Say amen, somebody. Y'all had a belly of yourself in here? Well, then go belly up. Say amen, somebody. They live only to eat and drink and be merry. Who must continually be, let's say, entertained. My, there's a lot of folks that got to be entertained all of the time. Listening now on the radio right now, you might be the type of person, you on the tape, that has to be continually and constantly and always entertained. Don't look for entertaining. You might get to entertaining thoughts of being entertained all the time and go astray. God. There's a work to be done, glory to God. There's a people to be ministered outside of this little body right here. And there's a work to be done out there, you listening on the radio, outside of your own churches. But you live not for Christ, but totally for yourself and only for yourself. Self-honor and self-seeking, those are your gods. I find that the fullness of bread often to myself brings an emptiness of heart. And it says, many are like the Israelites in the wilderness, while their meat is yet in their mouth. The wrath of God comes upon them, because it says in the Bible, their God is their belly. And also the Lord says, have no other gods before me. How many throughout the week found out you had a few gods before God? I have this week. Say amen. Now even as we talk to the lost, we find ourselves talking to the lost. So somewhere we've gone astray. Praise God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that keeps us to the uttermost. But as we minister to the lost, we see ourselves in here that many times we go astray ourselves. Well, I found one thing that people cannot confess, and that's covetousness. No, I heard a man say, he said, I'm only exercising a proper discretion in taking care of myself. He said, I think that the excellent of earth ought to be provided for. And that I'm one of the king's kids. I am a VIP. I should have all that I claim by faith because of my position in God. Certain amount of truth in that. But also a certain amount of stink in that. Are you hearing this? Oh, what dreamers right now that we have risen up in the last 13, 14, 15 years. Dreamers. But over here we have another man. I look over here and I see Mr. Careless over here. He belongs to one of the largest families. He could be called giddy. He is described in the fifth verse like this. That chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with chief anointments. Well, these are people that never read the Word of God, or pray. They say, well, let's just let well enough be alone. Let's just leave it alone. Let's don't get into it too much. And they are happy, and they are comfortable for the present. They're like butterflies. They fly here and there, and while it's bright and sunny out, they think that the winter will never come. You're in for a rude awakening. I went through that very thing myself. I was flittering here and there like a little butterfly. Oh, I was just having so much fun. I was flittering here and flittering there. But all of a sudden, the winter of my walk started to come, and all of the trials and all of the different things came my way. And I thought, whoa, it's cold out here. Well, my friends, where's all this Christian love at? How many come to the realization that you're just sinners saved by grace, by God? You can do all the counseling with all the pastors that you want. In the very end, God's got to speak to you. Say amen. How many heard that? Now, I had a person come into my office here not too long ago, and they said, well, I want to counsel with you. I said, have you prayed before you come in here? He said, no. I said, well, I won't counsel with you then. Have you asked God what He wants you to do? Because if we don't get into that, then we're going to go back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. See, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added on to you. So I said, first you got to do is seek the kingdom of God. And all that I can give you, dear sister, dear brother, is a confirmation on what God has already spoken. And it'll only take a few minutes. It won't cost you one single cent. Does that good counsel? What does the Bible say? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of what? God. How many heard that? Now, I know there's some people don't want to hear it. Especially those that consider themselves super-duper counselors in God. Say amen, somebody. And there's a parcel of them out there, let me tell you. Some of them are worse off than the people at the council. Say amen, somebody. Their life is a wreck and ruin, and all that they touch is wreck and ruin. And they go and they listen to this. Some even carry it out of there. Now, I have to say that. Because right now we are besieged with that kind of thing. People are calling on the phone and asking counsel. And I say, how many counselors have you been to before you come to me? Oh, three or four. I mean, this week. Say amen. We're going to have to teach people to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Stop being lazy and start to seek the Lord on their own. Say amen, somebody. Now, I'm not against counsel, but if that counsel doesn't send them people off to the Bible and off to seek the Word of God and off to seek the kingdom of God, then there's something wrong with that counsel. Something definitely wrong with it. God won't stand for it. What'll they ever do if you move out of town? Oh, but the butterflies and their whole life is spent on the flutter. They are careless, and they sing a hymn as if it were a song. Did you ever hear somebody like that? They're singing the old rugged cross, and they sing it just like it was a song. There are no churches all over. High steeple, few people, denominational churches, they're all over the place. They're singing the old rugged cross. They don't even know what the cross stands for. On the old rugged cross. I used to sing that. Stand up in that little balcony out there, way out there in Brooklyn Park, and sing the old rugged cross. And I was singing as loud as I could so everybody would hear my melodic tones flowing out from the balcony area. I didn't even know what it meant. All it was to me was a song. Those are like people that sort of scratch the soil with a dull plow. They never get deep enough so that they can put a seed in, and if the seed does go in, it springs up for a while. It has a certain amount of joy and jumping about, but it falls over and it withers and dies, the Bible says. How many are hearing this tonight? See, that's what we're coming into right now. And I think there's another name tonight that we can add to the list, and this is the crossless. He is described in the sixth verse, and listen very carefully. And they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Oh, I thought, oh, what an awful thing to live in this world without a cross. A person told me not too long ago, well, you know, I got to be honest with you, I have never had any trials. I said, would you mind if I leave you right now? Because you're ready to get a few, and I got enough of my own, sir, so I'm just going to scamper away from you. You ever seen a Christian without some kind of trials? Huh? You are going to have trials. They're a promise to you. I can't counsel them away from you. I can't talk the trials away from you. I can't talk you out of your tribulations. They are for your own good. So there. Take it and like it. Just like I had to take mine, you take yours. Maybe you got someone that's going to baby you through your trial. Say, hey, this is my trial. Butt out. You know what? You better get out of there, because you're going to get some trials. If you're monkeying with somebody else's trials, you get a double portion. Say amen, somebody. That's like people put their nose in somebody else's business. Did you ever go up to his wife? She's beating on her. I hate you. And you try to break him up, and the wife starts beating on you. Oh, get out of here. You hurt my husband, huh? Let them have their trial. That's none of your business. Say amen. Simply learn how to tell people you're going through a trial. And put on a smile while you're going through a trial. Don't make everybody go through it with you. Is that right? I mean, because you're going through a trial, do you have to put everybody else through a trial? Just say, hey, you're going through one, and God will take you through it. Oh, we don't want to preach that, though, do we? No, we don't want to say, oh, sister, you're going through a trial. We want to bind the devil, and we want to get into all this, and God is putting him through the trial. There's a healing going on. There's a beautiful thing happening. But we want to help them through. Oh, come on, baby, do, 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 dee, da, dee, do, oh, dee, do. And you get sick of the person in the end. Sick of them. Wish they were dead, in fact. Stop calling me! And you hold the phone way out here. Oh, yeah, so, How many have held the phone way out like that? Because you got the whiner family on there. Huh? Okay, simple preaching. It's the truth, though, isn't it? Now you can just start smiling. You're going through a trial, you're going to have to go through that trial, and you have to learn how to like it, or you'll get a double portion. Oh, but I haven't, Pastor Paul, ever had a trial. Oh, they will come. I know as soon as I get done with one, I have to take a little bit of ease, and I know I have to get ready, and God gets me all built up for another one. You mean it never gets over? Of course not. How unexciting. How horribly unexciting not to have a trial. Okay, Pastor Paul, now you're really going to get it. I'm really going to get it anyway. What a confession. That's negative. I'm just looking for the best. God is the one that's going to give me the trial. God is the one that's going to give me the tribulation. The devil can't hamper me in any way, shape, or form until he gets permission from God. You got that straight, devil? Oh, is this strain preaching to your ears? Well, you all know you went through trials. You got done with one, you had another one. Put your hands up and say, that's just the way it happened. Amen. Well, you don't know the trials I've been through. I don't want to know yours. I got my own. Doesn't every little kid have their trials when they go to school? I remember my first day at school. My mother wanted me to look so nice, and she left my hair grow a little years ago. You cut it way up until you cut the scalp, you know. And she left little golden curls hanging down, and she painted my nails and put short pants on me. You don't think that was a trial? I still remember that trial. but I sure learned how to fight. Because everybody wanted to pick on me. Say amen. That's where you get hardened in the battle. In the trial. They're going to come. You're not going to be at ease long if you're a Christian man. More trouble is on the way. Oh, yeah, I know people don't like this type of preaching. Oh, God, they just dearly hate it. You know why? Because they don't want any kind of trials. You know what? Even the sluggard that's listening to me right now, and it's almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon, laying up in that bed, he's got trials, he's got bed sores all over his body. You don't think that's a trial? Then he's got the radio on, he's too lazy to roll over and turn me off. Don't think that's a trial? Oh, we got trouble. Trouble right down here in River City. Well, if you're not in a trial, you better start to wonder about yourself. Why you are at ease in Zion. God chastens those that he loves, his children. Now, he doesn't chasten somebody else's children. He leaves them alone. But he chastens his own children. Oh, but now let's shed some light upon these sleepers' eyes. You know what I just said right there? I believe this is a hopeless errand. It is no use shedding any light upon these people's eyes because it will not wake them. And the truth is, they are sleeping with the sun, and they are sleeping with the Son of Heaven shining right upon their eyelids. The text says they are at ease in Zion. They are not at ease in the jungle. They have heard the gospel message, and they're sitting in churches all over. We can only remind them of the light. Because in the first place, you are asleep, but you know your danger. It's not like you are completely ignorant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know your danger. You are asleep in Zion. Woe to you. And I thought to myself, how many there are that foster sins which they know will destroy their very souls. It's like they put their hand in the fire and they know it's going to bring out. Oh, and it's still blistered. And it's still scarred. And they stick at it again. Oh, it hurts so good, huh? And they even hear their friends crying out, oh, it hurts, oh, deliver me. And they jump in the fire themselves. Oh, this comes to my mind. Oh, it does. Some 13 years ago. The girl came to me and she wanted to go out with this, oh, I don't know. Rudolph Vasolino, okay? And I said, sister, don't go out with that young man. He's been out with every girl under the sun. I can still hear their cries. Oh! Can't you? Yes, I know, but I love him so. People love to get burned. Well, that's what they call it, don't they? Ooh, did she ever get burned? Huh? Did she ever get burned? She had to jump in the fire just to see if it was really that bad as all them other people said. Oh, they're all screaming and yelling in there. But I know my Danny boy, I do. I know there's good in him. You are asleep in Zion. How many are hearing this?
God. Now, I know it's getting kind of quiet in here. And I know there's people on the radio that's getting real quiet. You know what? There's a Danny boy that just left the room. There is. Danny, come back in. Take your medicine. Where are you? Because you have heard the gospel. And all I can do, Danny boy, is remind you of the light. You know your danger. Are you hearing this? The Bible says to sin inside and Tyre. Oh, that's terrible. That's but a petty offender, though, compared to those that sin in Chorazin and Bethsaida. Are you hearing this? According to the degree of privilege is the degree of sin. According to what you know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. According to what your knowledge is. As a sin against knowledge is a sin against God, for God is all knowledge. Whoa, hallelujah. The more you know, the more you are held accountable. Have you received Jesus as your personal Savior? And you know all, oh, there are so many that know all about the gospel. And I know even people being saved in here and listening on the radio are getting convicted. And I'm talking those that ain't, that aren't saved. And when I start preaching like this, people feel like they're not even saved. See, oh, praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. You wouldn't be. Say amen, somebody. Sort of floors all the self-righteous boobs down at all of us. Woo! How many hearing this? According to the degree, I said, of privilege is the degree of sin. I got to thinking about that. Whew. That's like a person who dies with bread in their hand. They deserve to starve, don't they? He who dies of a sickness and the doctor's at the very next house, doesn't he deserve to die? He who perishes because he won't look to Christ, whose fault is that? See, this is a ministry that you're going to have to give, folks. Woe to you! You've heard the gospel. Heavy preaching? I don't think so. Also, you probably have had frequent arousings. I thought to myself, oh God, never let me be found amongst those sleepy preachers who will let their congregations continue peacefully in their sins. Let me warn you again, receive Christ Jesus as your Savior or go to hell. See, that's gospel. You unsaved, you got to listen. Today is the time, right now, and every message cries out against you. Every time that you look at the cross, every time that you go through a church, every time that you look at a Bible, the blood itself cries out from the ground against you. Now, lastly, let me sound the trumpet in the ears of the sleepers. You know what the trumpet says? Whoa! Woe! Woe! Woe to them that are at ease in Zion! Woe to them that are in the church and never received Jesus as their personal Savior! Woe! And I don't think there is a man amongst us that knows the full meaning of the word woe. When heaven echoes the word woe, I believe even the damned in hell won't know the full meaning of it because they haven't been through an eternity of misery yet. Woe! Woe to them that are at ease in Zion! Now first let me then bring out the more gentler parts of this note. Woe to you! For how is it that you have never been saved and you've heard several messages? You know, the people that are usually saved are those that only hear one or two or maybe three messages. Maybe they've read a tract. And I know God can do all things. But then how can you account for hearing the gospel for years and never accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I think we need to challenge people. Well, maybe I have to go all the way to the bottom or something. But you've been there 12 times. We've bought you out of jail. We've bought you out of this. We've prayed you out of that. We've been over here. We've been over there pulling you out of this mess and that mess. You've been there 12 times or more. How can you ever hope to be saved? Woe to you! Woe to you! Woe to you! Wouldn't that wake somebody up? After they sat in church after time after time after time after time, you know what I mean? And they still continue on in their sin, and their wife and their whole family has gone tubes, and they continue on in their drink, and they've heard the gospel, and they know the deliverance message, and they know God can free them, and they know all these wonderful things. Don't you think that would make them sit up when they're in a sort of a stupor, and you say, "Woe to you, woe to you"? I know it would be to me. Say amen. Oh, that wouldn't be real nice to do stuff like that. What, just let the guy die in his sins? I'm talking about people that have been coming to church for years and years and years that have never received Jesus as their personal Savior. Something wrong here. There's a hardening of the hearing. Hardening of the heart and a heart of hearing coming on. Are you hearing it? And you know, they can get harder and harder and harder unless the gospel is preached. And the Bible says, woe be it to the preacher that doesn't preach the gospel. Oh, I'd hate to be up there, my little old body coming before the judgment of God. Oh, little preachers, are you listening to me? The first to be judged. Oh, man, go walking up there, and God would say, woe to you, you never preached the gospel in your church, and many went to hell. Well, I guess my time isn't just yet. You're like that man at Mount Helena. He was an older fellow, and he says, well, it's been shaking and quaking up here, but I'm just not going to move. And the mountain came down upon him. I will not be moved. They were shaking and quaking, and he didn't take the warning, and he just laid there until the whole mountain came down. Well, you're like the dog that laid under the blacksmith's anvil, and the sparks were flying all over when he first got him as a puppy. Ooh, yip, 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 yip. He'd back up, and he was afraid of all these sparks flying and all that noise. Bang, bang, bang. But after a while, he got used to it, and he laid right underneath all that noise. He laid right underneath all them sparks. And that's the way it is with a lot of folks. They've been to so many messages, and they've heard so many. They've been to all these concerts, and they've had all these altar calls, and they've been through all these things. Maybe some of your friends. And they haven't received Jesus as their personal Savior because they got used to the noise. Say amen. And even as Christians, don't we harden ourselves to facts? Go ye out into the world and minister all the gospel to all creation, and we harden ourselves to it? Oh yeah, I've heard that somewhere before. Seems to me in my dim wit. Huh? Yeah. And now it isn't the living word anymore. It's sort of a deadness. Sets in real easy, doesn't it? A deadness. Huh? See, what you don't practice, you're never going to become. If you never practice holiness, you never practice going out and doing works for God, you never practice giving Christ away, you're going to get hard. Pretty soon you'll have a hard heart. Pretty soon it'll get harder for you to do those things. Harden not your heart. Now I believe also there are many who go to sleep under the gospel. I'm not talking about physical sleep either. I'm talking about those that don't. Well, that's That's something to talk about too. Praise God, right? But I'm talking about those that go to sleep under the gospel message and they don't hear it anymore. No, the preacher that gives the gospel message and never has the altar call. Well, I preached the gospel! You brought a bucket of water and you put it out there, but you never offered anybody to come and get a drink. Ooh. Ooh. But they're out there, and there are many who go to sleep under the gospel, under the word woe. When they sleep soundly, they become used to the sound, used to the noise. And yes, I know there is such a thing as going to sleep under the most thundering ministries. I know that. It's going to take ministries, I'll tell you, to wake up people right now. They are dead, super cold, dead, stone cold, dead in the market. It's really the truth, isn't it? Stone cold, dead in the market. I mean, people get used to these things, used to being invited, and they just smile and sleepily roll over in their mind. Used to being warned. You can see it on the bread line once in a while. Are you saved? Oh, yes. Sure. They're used to hearing it now. Now's the time for another message. Well, woe be to you if you don't know, if you've received the gospel all this time and you haven't received it. Don't harden your heart. Receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Today. Did you know that? People can get hard. Pretty soon they don't hear it. Have you seen that? Have you seen that down there on the hobo bus? Spiritual conning once in a while? Well, you just keep right on preaching. You break right through that by the power of the Holy Ghost. Say amen, somebody, and keep right on preaching. Don't ever say to yourself, it ain't working, because it will always work. Right, Jim? It'll always work. But I'm so used to being warned. I'm so used to being convicted. I'm so used to being challenged. No, that's just the Holy Ghost again after me again to change. They have been pleaded with until they sleep under it. You ever pleaded with your own child to do things and then pretty soon they go to sleep while you're talking to them? What do you say to them? Whoa! To you! If you don't make that bag! Well, don't they take you for granted after a while? And what you say, now what I'm saying to you, sonny boy, is gospel. I mean, alright? Isn't that right? Don't you get used to hearing? It's like having a boss, and the boss comes around and he tells you over and over and over again. And pretty soon you just get used to it. You say, yep, 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 yep. Don't we do that with our own mothers and fathers? Yes, mother! But you really don't mean yes. You mean, yes, I know what you're going to say before you say it. And I'm not going to do it. Never will. Have no desire to do it. Won't do it. And I'm sick of you saying it. Be glad when I'm out of here. Well, I'm 18! Oh, God. How many have said that? I couldn't even wait. I had to leave when I was 17. Say amen. Right? I got tired of the woe. And I got hard. Oh, that's just the old man. What does he know? That's just my mother, old windmill. What does she know? Huh? Whoa, that's this old preacher Paul. What does he know? Not a whole lot, saving Christ in me. Say amen, somebody. But I do know one thing, that people have become hard of hearing. Say amen, somebody. And that's what's wrong in the country right now today. You can go down to any plant. Half the workers just, the boss will walk by and they won't even budge. They're on a perpetual break. Did you know that? And the boss could walk by. Hey, you guys know what time it is? Hey, do we look stupid or something? Keep drinking their coffee. And then the new boss comes in, see? Sort of a short, beady-eyed, mean-looking little dude, see? He comes out there, a little tyrant. Wow! Huh? And for a while, they kind of, oh, okay. After a while, they go back to their old ways again. Huh? Ah, he's blowing his top. He'll get over it. Ah, it's all right. Don't pay any attention. It's just mother. Oh, Dad. Really? Huh? Well, don't stop being a dad and don't stop being a mother. Just come a little heavier with the woes. Hey, are you hearing this? That's like people don't have their kids to mind. The kid don't pay any attention to them after all. No, not they don't pay one bit of attention to them. Now, what did Mommy tell you? Mommy told you not to grab a hold of that tablecloth and pull all them 16th century vases of Grandma's down off the table. Now, if I've told you once, I've told you a thousand times, darling dear. And they go like this on the seat of their pants. And, of course, they're padded by 14,000 diapers, so they can't feel nothing anyway. Probably stick their hand with one of the pins in the kid's diaper. You understand what I'm saying here? See, it's just a blending of the natural here to show you something. That we can get hard of hearing, even as Christians, but there are people out there that have heard the gospel over and over and over and over again that haven't received the gospel. God. Oh, I think they have become accustomed. You could yell fire and they would sleep right through the fire. Remember that song when the, my, what a large mouth, all the better to eat you with, my dear, that story. Little Red Riding Hood, wasn't it? Hmm? Shake your memories. Little Red Riding Hood. Or the little boy that he cried out, wolf, wolf? Huh? Well, he's just crying out, huh? Oh, how many are in the wolf's belly? Say amen. How many are hearing this message tonight? Ooh, let it shake us unto good works in the Holy Ghost. And let us go out and minister the gospel, because there's a whole lot of people that are going to sleep under the gospel message and they're not even hearing it anymore and they're not convictable anymore. And it's just like they're at home with their parents. Sometimes even as a preacher that's a disciplined preacher and preaches discipline, people don't want to come under that. You know why? They're rebelling actually against their parents. You become a parental figure. But I am a parent that will say woe. Say amen. Preacher, you better start to just give a little heavier woes out there. Even when people don't want to do things. Say amen, somebody. Ooh. People have become accustomed. Isn't it true that this whole society has become hard? Hard in the heart and hard of hearing. Accustomed to abortion. Accustomed to divorce, accustomed to adultery, it's a custom. So they become accustomed. Accustomed to fornication, but I love him so, I can't let him go, moo, 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 huh? these boys are accustomed to taking advantage. Accustomed to making concessions and accustomed to overruling the Holy Ghost. Overruled. See, when you're in your own ruling, you're overruling the Holy Spirit. And it says in the Bible, the sun will turn blood red, and yet man is not going to turn. And why? They have become accustomed. They would sleep through the archangel's blast of the trumpet and sleep in their own lethargy. Isn't there a song like that? I become accustomed to your touch. Oh, and it's the devil itself. I become accustomed to the message. I become accustomed to the word. For many times I've heard this word you preach. I become accustomed to the woes of Zion. I am at ease with all the warnings. Ooh. Blow on, great gospel trumpet, blow on. I have become accustomed. Well, then you are hopeless. No, churchgoers, listen. God will sound his trumpet in his own house first. Judgment will begin at the house of God. Praise the Lord. And his fan, it says in the Word of God, is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. And so he begins with his own floor. He shall, let's say, purify the sons of Levi. He will begin with those in his own house, so that judgment will have to begin with you. What a place to sleep in. You in the church that haven't received Jesus. What a place to sleep in. When God comes in to judge the church first, an old pastor. What a place to be asleep in behind a pulpit when the Lord comes in with his fan. Oh, what a place to be. Why sleep there? Oh. Remember, you are asleep where the punishment, where God is most severe in his own barn. Where Christ is preached. Where the gospel is preached. And I again say about myself, woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel. I believe if you can sleep here, you can sleep any place. If you can sleep through these messages and not receive Jesus as your personal Savior or be changed by the message and delivered by the message, woe be to you. I shall pray then for a miracle of hearing. Spiritual hearing. How many know there is a healing that needs to take place in the spiritual? Now I'll close with this word. Do you that are not born again feel the force of what I've said? Do you tremble at having been at ease so long? Are you saying, oh, that I might be saved? Oh, that God would have mercy upon me. He'll do it. And he'll do it right now. Receive the gospel that you for so long have rejected. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved. Yes, you. No matter how badly you have sinned, admit that you're guilty of all that I have said here tonight. Confess your need for Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Remember then that there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Remember also that you are saved the very minute that you receive Jesus Christ and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ the very minute. Remember that His is a finished work that you're receiving, that you can't add to it, that it is a complete atonement. He did it all. That no blood of the bullocks is needed, that no tears of man are needed to complete it. It's done. You are saved. That's the message that we must take out. That is the message that you must penetrate hearts with. You must be born again. That is a message that we must revive ourselves in as we minister to others. I know that you'll be ministering to yourselves and will see some form of deadness within your own selves. As you minister, you must be born again. As you minister, woe be it to you if you're at ease in Zion. You'll find yourself a little bit lacking. But right now, let me challenge you to go on out and give that message away that you've heard here tonight. Say amen, somebody. Let me challenge you to go on out. Let me challenge you not to always constantly and continually and always try to take people out of their own personal trials that God has fashioned for them. It's their trial, but out. Say amen, somebody. And let us right now take the gospel message seriously, because there'll be no joy until that we get into seeing souls saved, until we, in this very end time right now, and I'll tell you, people are open to the gospel of Jesus Christ like never before. If we just don't get so busy with our own personal stink and our own personal little problems and say, praise God for the trial, I'm going to put that aside. Set aside yourself. The Bible says, forget about yourself, concentrate on Him. That means put yourself aside for a time, will you? And stop running around with that long face. Sometimes I'd like to walk up and kick people firmly in the seat of the buttocks because they have that long face. Isn't that sickening? They're going through a trial. You want to shorten a long face? Give them a good swift kick in the seat of the pants, and it will shorten considerably. How many heard this message tonight? Walk up and kick each other in the seat of the pants and say, praise God for your particular trial. You need it. And then run. Did you hear that? How many had trials in here this week? Some of them had trials so bad they can't even put their arms up. Are you at ease in Zion? You had a trial. Come on, you had to have some kind of trial. Getting out of bed for some people is a trial. My God. Oh, I never had one. Okay, double portions for you then. I refuse to put my hand up on the grounds that it might tend to incriminate me. Put your hand up. My God, both of them. Say, God, I got them. Praise the Lord for them. Praise God, you know what's best for me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not speaking negative here. I'm toughening you up for the battle. There's bigger and better trials coming your way. Praise God. However, you're going to be able to lead anybody else out if you don't go through one yourself. You'll never know what you're talking about. Oh, but some of you listening on the radio are so down at the mouth and you're so resentful and you're so mad. I ministered to a person not too long ago who was mad. Mad, just so frustrated. I put my hand on someone and God didn't heal them. Oh! How many hearing this? Huh? And I said, well, person, you are so resentful and bitter. Me? And the tears were flowing and flowing, and I started to minister this resentment. But I'm not that way. I'm not. The tears stopped right away. Maybe her complete deliverance would have been if she could have, you know, jumped on top of my chest and put both hands around my neck and choked me until I turned purple. So she could have seen the error of her ways. But I wasn't ready. I'd gone through so many trials that day. I said, God, I don't need that. And I backed off. How many are hearing this? Come on. Now, is there anybody here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Huh? Well, I'll tell you what you're doing then. You're going through trials without Jesus. As you all go through trials. Anyone in here? Maybe there's somebody on the radio that's sat through all kinds of messages and they become hard and they can snap gum and blow bubbles right through a gospel message and walk out during, right when they have altar call. They're so hard they just get up. People are weeping around, they just get up and they saunter out. They walk right out. Oh no, here comes the call again. Let me out here. You know what they ought to really do is just go back and say, whoa. Preacher ought to be swift of foot and run down the aisle and out the door and come around to the middle door there and say, whoa! Back him in. How many heard this? Oh, hey. Live dangerously. You only got one life to live. Oh, I'm getting so I add after every conversation in case of my demise. I got this hidden here and that hidden there and this is over here and they put the key under here because, my God, I'm ready to go at any time. And not because I'm bored, but because I know I'm ready. What a good feeling that is. Not because of my own righteousness, but because God, I've been washed by the blood. That I have been made righteous. That I have been made holy and righteous in Him. That I've come to recognize. That my salvation is of the Lord. Totally. Praise Him tonight. Just lift up your arms and praise Him and say, we praise You, Lord. We thank You and we magnify Your name and we praise You, we praise You, we praise You, we praise You. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Lord. Thank You. You know, if they had TV cameras on us right now and you seen this rerun again and you were with some friends of yours, you'd be embarrassed about that the camera would come over on us. And it's really the truth. It's showing us and we think, was that really the way we look? Huh? So if you're till a tear.